Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome, dear listeners, to the Power Play Point podcast. It's an all you know.
All right.
Starting the year off great, aren't we? All new year 2019. Not an all new season, of course, but an all new year. This is the Blue Liner on Point, coming to you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And my heckling co-host, as you heard just now, is on with me as always, the beautiful, wonderful teaching prodigy. She's the mermaid memeing mother. That's too many M's. From Centerville, Virginia, Anna Knox.
Yes. Happy New Year, Gil.
Happy New Year. It don't feel like a Happy New Year yet, but we're getting there.
I know. Hockey aside, you and I didn't really talk much after the Christmas episode. So how was your New Year's?
Well, no, we had that get together where I had to round all seven corners, remember?
That was before Christmas.
That's true. But yeah, no, we didn't really... It didn't really do much. You're right. And as far as getting together, but I had some much needed rest. So if we are both a little rusty at this, apologies to all you on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you. And again, want to thank you again for listening, especially if you are in the District of Columbia, the state of Maryland, and of course, the Commonwealth of Virginia. Thanks for sticking around for this 2019 year. We're going to get right into the hockey. But, yeah, I mean, sorry, I wasn't ignoring you. I was just if I wasn't working, I was sleeping because that dreaded time of year is upon us again.
Yes,
that time
is.
Where everybody has to get their SHIT together as far as their tax information. So my services are doubly needed.
No,
I'm not an accountant if you're curious, but yeah,
he's an escort. you're needed. Come on now. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, Gil is an escort, and it's good times. When he's talking about like you do your job and then you're always sleeping and like what can make you so tired, that would be it. So how about that?
Okay.
You have missed me.
Yeah, everybody has.
So, okay, well then let's kick off the show. We've got do you have a New Year's resolution?
Oh, hell no. I don't believe in those. I hate those.
Really?
What's the point? What's the point? In fact, what is the point of the whole, look, I love having the day off, you know,
right,
which I did, and I watched the Winter Classic, and I found out it was more fun playing with my cat, to be honest. So I did that, wore myself off, slept half the day away.
But, playing with BJ?
We had a lot of fun doing that, but I mean, honestly, what's the point of they shouldn't call it New Year's Day. They should call it Happy Flip the Calendar Page for the Last Time Day, because that's all you're doing.
See, I disagree.
Of course you do.
I think it's good for some people out there to, yes, flip the calendar, but just sometimes if you're having a hard time or something, you know, you're I don't know, like, you know, something's going on in your life. Sometimes it's easier for people to say, I really want to put this year, this month, whatever, behind me. And for some people, 2018 was not fun. So you turn it over and you think, okay, you know what, 2019, I'm going to make more of an effort to, you know, call my friends or eat better, whatever. You know, there's some like very generic things. And then there's some that I feel like people need the motivation to say, I don't want to repeat what happened last year. So I love a New Year's. Do I do the New Year's resolutions? Sometimes. You know, I don't want to ever do the ones that are so crazy where it's like, oh, I'm going to stop swearing because that'll fucking never happen. And then like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have a dry January. Well, that's not going to happen. I'm like, let's be honest, you know, I'm going to get to the gym. Nope. But I am going to, I'm going to put myself out there to do by the end of next year, a couple of things that just take me absolutely out of my comfort zone. And just rock it, and that's it. And I hope that, you know, this the podcast continues to do well, and that we get a chance to maybe meet face to face. You know, some of the Caps fans and followers, and make more of an effort to see people this year. Don't get you know, so overwhelmed with work and stress and whatever that you don't make time for people, because we don't know how much time we have. So on that happy note, but I just think, yeah, hell yeah, I love it, turning the calendar. It's a good thing. But anyways, turning the calendar for the Capitals has sucked. And are you still, you want to go back and talk about 2018 games or move forward?
Well, we'll kind of like we were just talking a little while ago, we should just gloss over the last three games that ended 2018. But I wanted to throw in my last bit of take. I can stop being cynical Carl for about 2 minutes here and say, yes, I get the fact that it's, pardon me, good to make a fresh start. I get all that. I don't know. I've just never been into the making the resolution and all that. And one thing I can promise that we will continue to deliver a high standard of quality and entertaining presentation of what we know and love to be Caps hockey. That I can promise you. And on something of a lighter note, yes, I think what Anna said is a good idea. I think we should get more out into the community. So I think we're going to try that. I'd love to try getting out to a game and meeting some fans. I know it was great to do that when we were in Hershey. So I think we should do that for an actual Caps game. Go for that. Especially when we get closer to playoff time. So there is plan for that. Now there's also a plan that I'm making for the very near future, which I will talk about as soon as we finish up the recaps and Don's farm report. But yes, let's go ahead and mop up 2018 really quick. There were three games of note on the schedule. They were against Carolina and Ottawa and Nashville, respectively. Carolina, nothing to see there, was a 3-1 win, except for Stevenson, Oshie, and Carlson got the goals. And the lone goal from Carolina was from Sebastian Asshole. Aho.
He gets under your skin, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. I'm sick and tired of him doing well against my team.
I hear you.
So,
I don't know. Anyway. He doesn't get under my skin as much as say other players do, but I know whenever I see that name, I just chuckle and think, oh, holy crap. Y'all. And yes. Go for it.
So
we just got a question on Twitter too. So when we get to the next games, Trucker Eric has a question for us.
Oh, cool. Okay. So, yeah, nothing much to see there. Good effort, though, by the Caps, of course, 3-1 win. And then there was the game after that a few days later in Ottawa, even though they had just been in Ottawa literally a week ago. Right. It's a good 3-2 win. Wilson opened the scoring. But the highlight of the game was Mr. Tyler Lewington, not right. only getting his first ever NHL goal, but also his first ever NHL assist on that Wilson goal that opened the scoring. And guess what? He also got into a fight, which means, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, that is the vaunted Gordie Howe hat trick. And
that was,
he's got it.
That was freaking awesome to see. And the thing that was so great about it was there were two other players that also were sort of set up to have the Gordie Howe hat trick as well.
Yes. And, Madison Bowie was one of them. Just wanted to throw that in there. He also got into a fight and also scored his first goal.
Right. I didn't see that. No. I mean, I saw it, but I can honestly say that if you had asked me before the game, would I see Madison Bowie dropping the gloves? No. I am so glad to see that side of him because I know that, you know, in the beginning, people are like, oh, bench him. Like, oh, who cares? Healthy scratch. He has really come out of his shell and has shown us so much that it was awesome. And that infectious smile of his just melts my heart every time. So I couldn't have been happier for that. You know, seeing him, you know, and then Lewington, I understand, was dropping the gloves quite a bit in the AHL. So good for him for saying, you know, I'm coming up first game, he's got his family there, and what an honor. So I hope to see a lot of him in the future.
Yeah, and me as well. I think that he's actually, in my opinion, he's future captain material. Definitely going to be a future leader of the team and one to hang on to. So love the effort out of the both of them. But that was certainly the highlight of that game. That win, 3-2 win for the Caps. As it would turn out, the last of 2018 that they would have. New Year's Eve, they would play their final game of the year at home, and it was a nice afternoon game versus the Nashville Predators, and you would have thought this would have turned out a lot better because the Predators were actually in the midst of a long road losing streak. Mm-hmm. Well, that ended. That ended at Capital One. Caps played not too poorly at first, jumping out to a 3-1 lead, and then just I don't know. The wheels came off; they just stopped, and basically the Preds answered with 5 straight, 1 going away, and yeah, that was it.
It sucked. I had a hard time watching this game because I truly felt like sitting back watching the game thinking, okay, we've got this lead. We're not going to get too comfortable and kind of, you know, drop our guard a little bit. And the Preds could possibly come back with 5 goals. You know, I'm like, there's no way that this is going to happen. And sure enough, the Capitals did not play 60 minutes of hockey again. Mm-hmm. And what concerns me is, you know, we're not doing the 60 minutes, but we're also not becoming that second half team. And, you know, for the Preds to come out and, you know, be down and then come back and just kick our asses, it wasn't pretty. It was not how I wanted the Capitals to end 2018. But again, it's not the end of the world. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can just, you know, I know you want to go over the next couple of games, but there seems to be an underlying pattern that I'm hoping is going to break very soon in 2019. And we can talk about that once we go over the road trip games.
Yeah. Which we will start now. Okay. So thus endeth officially the calendar year of 2018. So we flip it and rip it and go on to the first game of 2019, a game against St. Louis in St. Louis, which, oh boy, this was bad. This is bad. The only highlight of the game was Ovechkin getting his 30th. Yeah, there are no two ways about it. Basically, I don't even, well, there was a fight in this game, and it was kind of expected. It was Tom Wilson, of course. Some saw it as, quote-unquote, revenge for Sunkiss getting peeled like an orange by him in the preseason. So, right. I know that was, I'm ashamed of that joke. That was really bad,
here's a New Year's resolution for you. I'm going to minimize the amount of times I say no during the episodes after you say something, but Gil, that no.
Yeah. I hear you loud and clear.
Out of my system. But that game sucked.
Ugh. Yeah, the fight notwithstanding, just to look at the stat sheet, the Caps literally got their ass handed to them, 42-25 shots on goal, 68% loss percentage in the faceoff dot, 0-3 in the power play, more on that later. On paper, they outhit them and certainly didn't look like them. Of course, they were winners in the shot block contest. Call me when you win something for real. That's like being the best toothpick counter in all of Nebraska or something. I don't know. That's just terrible.
Somebody may actually be making a lot of money off of counting toothpicks. You don't know.
Well, if they do, if they do, call me and tell me how to get into that. I don't know, but
there you go.
That was just bad. But the most embarrassing stat by far in this game. Okay, so you're going into the game trailing, okay, and you need to show some effort at least. You need to, they were losing by a goal. They were down by a goal, so you need to ramp up the effort. Well, guess how many shots on goal they got on the third period of this game?
4.
Uh-uh. Not 10. Not even. No, God, no.
It's going the other way. 2.
Going the other way. Yeah, 2. 1, 2. 2. That's 1+1 in 20 minutes of National Hockey League ice hockey play. 20 minutes. They manage 2 shots on goal. All of 2 shots on goal. You don't win hockey games by putting out that pitiful of an output. Let me tell you something. That if they put out that kind of an effort and expect to win, they got another thing coming. And I hope boots were put to asses after that game, because that was, yeah.
Oh, it definitely was, New Year's hangover. Yeah, straight up. They looked like shit. They looked sloppy. They were not in sync. It was bad. It was disappointing to see them kick off 2019 that way. And to be honest, I wasn't, I want to say the Dallas game was slightly better. But no, well, I think you and I are going to have a lot of things to talk about once you get through the.
Yeah. On paper, the next game, of course, against Dallas, in Big D was, something of a better effort. It's a much more physical game.
Yes.
They were still piss poor in the faceoff dot, but got many more shots on goal, 37-29. much better effort. Khudobin, they made Khudobin look very good, though. And a guy who'd been ripped by his own team's CEO.
Right. I was just going to mention that.
What the hell that was all about. I mean.
Well, and it's one of those moments where you want to sit back and say, God, where's the respect? Where's the professionalism? And where's the privacy? You know, that's something that you take up with Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benley. You take that up behind closed doors. You don't start, you know, shit talking about your players, especially. I mean, Ben wasn't even in the game, but Tyler Seguin, they won because of him that night. You know, it's like he got the only goal in the first period, and then the overtime goal. But yeah, I was just kind of shaking my head, like, what a disappointment. Players must have been, you know, thinking of 1,000 different ways to respond on social media, and probably writing and deleting and writing and deleting, being like, I don't want to get in trouble, but this was completely uncalled for.
Yeah, I'll just say this. For a guy who has been much maligned about his quote unquote maturity, he sure handled it with a lot more of it.
Right.
Than his bosses certainly did, and I'll just leave it at that. And when it comes to owners, and you may not agree with some of their business practices, and then certainly the recent lockouts hold a bitter taste still. But I'll take our ownership group over any day.
Totally agree.
And I'll leave it at that. But yeah, much better effort though in this game against Dallas, but they come up with the loss in overtime. I don't know what it is about going to overtime and then losing with Dallas, but seem to do a lot of that. Yeah, and what I didn't like, so one thing I didn't like in this game was I often harp on this, but you can tell the type of penalties, how the game is going. And the one that stood out were the two in the beginning, the hooking penalty by Niskanen and the Ovechkin boarding. I think they were kind of flat-footed in the first 10 minutes, and it caught up to them. That's why Niskanen took the hooking call. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe they went too far the other way, hence the boarding call.
Right.
Once they found that happy medium of how to approach the game, then they got on a good footing. But I don't know. It was like a whole period wasted just trying to find their legs, and that might have been what cost them, I think. But at least they came away with the loser point. I guess that's one bright spot. The last game of the week, we're going to go into in a little bit more depth. And that was, of course, the one from yesterday. Alan May, during the broadcast on NBC Sports DC. Yes, of course you do. Flat out said this was an ugly game. That was probably the most succinct way of putting this. This was just, I don't know. I both listened to the game on the radio. I listened to John Walton and Ken Sabrin's call on the radio, and both watched it. Both that and watched it the last half or so. And it between the two calls, it just came off as a very choppy game. There was no flow. I thought it was starting out great when you know Tom Wilson opened the scoring. Stop me if you've heard this before. If you saw it on the replay, it was a great effort. Kuznetsov's pass, and Wilson was on an angle that really was sharper than any of Gordon Ramsay's knives, his best knives for that matter. So I thought it would be, it was a great start to the game, and then the Wings tied it, and then they fell behind, and it's like, okay, well, now you need to show your character. And then Travis Boyd came up with that great goal, with that awesome pass from Ovechkin. And I like this. I like the celebration, you know, pointing to Ovechkin, nodding his head. I really like that. there's another guy. There's another. Pardon me. There's another guy I think has a great future with the team, Boyd.
Oh, yeah.
And then Kempney with the wrister at 16:08 to get the game winner. And, man, they hung on by their fingernails after that. But they finally break the losing streak, and they get the Duke with that one. Shots on goal, 34-25 Caps. Another abysmal performance in the faceoff dot, 59% for Detroit. Power play 0-4 continues the drought. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I saw Tom Galitti. Is Tom Galitti? He put out a tweet that said they were now 1 for their last 30. We're gonna talk. We're gonna talk about the PP here in a minute. But yeah, 0-4. But on the bright side, penalty kill came up huge when they had to. And killed off all three Detroit power plays. Clearly out hit Detroit 20-9. Always love seeing that. Decent possession game, but yeah, like Alan May was saying, there was no flow. Shots on goal by period 13-6-15. 15 in the third. Like the way they ramped up the effort when they need to. So this team still, I'm not too worried. I was clearly not happy about the results and some of the efforts, but clearly this team knows how to dig deep and come up with the best effort when they have to. I was glad to see that, but there was a lot of my daughter gave me a foam brick outlined in Caps colors and the Caps logo to throw at the TV. And my arm got a workout this past week and a half with that thing. With throwing that brick at the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I saw something I didn't like, if it was bad officiating or just bad play. So I'll post some pictures on that on the Facebook page, but it was good to see them win. An ugly win is still a win, but there are a lot of issues this team needs to address, and not the least of which is the power play. I don't know. I'm no expert. I've never coached the game. I've never played the game on any fancy organized level. But I will say this as an observer, they look tentative. They look scared. They look like they just don't know what they're doing anymore. And I think some retooling is in order. And I just have to say it can be, speaking as a guy, not trying to be chauvinist here, but, when you go on the PP and you expect things to come out and nothing comes out, well, it can
that's
be
a
very
terrible example.
Very frustrating.
That's just weird.
Weird?
It is.
That's the best you can come up with is weird?
I'm trying to filter myself in 2019.
Go for it.
Weird. It's fucking
Let
weird.
It Let it out.
No, it is. It's fucking weird. Like, why would you compare the two? It's no. Oh, there's my second no of the night. And you know what? That's okay. Getting back into it. So no, no, and no. I will say this. Like, my frustrations are, you know, all three games. I agree with Alan May and what you have said about how they played. Even though we won, it was ugly. And the losses were ugly because there were too many penalties. Along with that... Excuse me. Along with that, though, is they just are not consistent. And this was that, you know, that dreaded C word that I talked about so much last season. And I don't like to bring up last season and this season, but you have to have consistency on the ice with your teammates. And I felt like watching 65 have like 100 different opportunities to shoot and didn't, and was kind of, I think it was Bernie Diehl that says it was like, you know, trying too hard, just take the damn shot, Barakowski, and believe in yourself. But he's not, he's an, you know, annoying me to no end. Orlov, I'm done. I'm done with number nine, to be honest. Like I'm done. I'm hoping that we'll have a little breakup and then maybe we'll get back together, you know, at the end of the month. But he's just not where he's supposed to be. I don't know. And then you're seeing some like John Carlson. I was like, oh my God, we haven't seen him score. We've seen a lot of assists. Yes, I'm not taking that away. But when he's scoring and it's kind of all over the place, and I don't know. They definitely need a like a little locker room come to Jesus moment from Reardon, because they look like, you know, I'm not going to jinx it. I don't like how they're playing right now. I'm concerned about the lack of consistency. I'm concerned about certain players are not given that 100%. Who knows? And I know the next couple of games coming up are really going to test, you know, where these guys are at. There's no reason for them to be, you know, having jelly legs on the ice. There's no reason. They're not, you know, they traveled, they had time off. You know, they're at practice. You see pictures from the practices that they're laughing and everyone's like, okay, good. You know, like there's that good vibe between them. What the hell happens when the puck drops and everyone's like, you know, either trying too hard or not trying hard enough, but there's not a balance. So that's going to be my new word for the Capitals in 2019 is find a balance, find a good top line. We had a great fourth line. Keep it going, keep it consistent, and find the balance between skills, you know, skill, age, you know, years, however you want to look at it, but find a balance and get the W. That's it.
Yeah. I like so many other things, it starts with your approach and or your attitude. And I don't know. It just seems like the team has kind of sort of lost their way a little bit. They don't know. I don't know if it's the same midseason funk that we're so familiar with seeing out of this team sometimes. Of course, what was it? 3 years ago, we had the blizzard that threw in an extra week and a half's worth of pause on top of the All-Star break. And then they just, from there, they were still a good team, but they had just lost all their momentum. I was just going to say, I'm hoping with this win against Detroit that was born of a little bit more consistent effort, they might just find that, you know, that thing that they can call upon that helps them through these, you know, when they get into a rough patch, and that's it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was glad to see that this was a rut of, you know, a handful of games, and that, all right, we put that behind, we go, you know, Detroit with a win, and now we've got, you know, the Flyers come in here tomorrow night. Great. But I think honestly, what is going to balance this team is as giving more ice time to the Kempneys and the Boyds and the Vranas and the Dmitri Yaskin, some of those players with, you know, who are just, they've got the right mindset. They're young. They've got this, the speed and the skill and whatever. And And, you know, that balance with the vet players. I mean, that just, it's a good thing. They just have to find, you know, it's like that, they're like a puzzle pieces. They just got to be able to come together and rock it and get back into that. Cause you feel like once you're, you get a W, you know, the vibe of the locker room, the vibe of the coaching staff, the fans, everything changes. You know, it's, you want to kind of, you want to go with that high of like, hell yeah. Like, look at, you know, we're going to go into this game because we played so well last time. Not, oh shit, I hope this is, you know, we don't lose our eighth, ninth, 10th game in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Makes a lot of sense. I just want to throw out one more point. You look at the schedule that they've been on, and it's a mix of teams that are at the top of the standings, at the exact middle, and as is it the case of the last, well, St. Louis and Detroit anyway, teams that are at the bottom of the standings. And you would think that you bring out your best effort against them, because if you do, you know you're going to win.
Right.
But what really bothers me is that, you know, again, their approach did not match the effort required, because on any given night, you know, and any team can win. But yeah, like you said, I think hopefully with that win, hopefully they have that attitude adjustment now that helps them through, and it makes them realize, okay, well, it's a long grind. There are points to be had that have to be banked and picked up. And maybe now, when they realize, you know, that they realize the race for the division title is a little tighter than it was a few weeks ago.
Right. Well, before
your hole is breathing down their necks now, literally. Yeah. So.
Oh no! Absolutely, absolutely. And I was gonna throw a question out to you, since we sort of, oh, I feel like it, you know, we hit our Debbie Downer moment of the Caps, and I hate. I'm like, oh, I want to talk about such awesome things. Give me Gil, Blue Liner 77. Your three top players that you're impressed with only within the last three games.
The last three games. Okay. Well, the first one I got to put out there, that springs to my mind is Travis Boyd. Mm-hmm. He's on that fourth line. So, you're not going to see him light up the scoreboard, of course, but what you want out of that whole line is a consistent, solid effort, for them to make their presence felt at both ends of the ice, all 200 feet. Whether if it's with puck possession or with physical play when necessary, and chip in the odd goal. And I don't think right now you can ask more of what Boyd has delivered. So off the top of my head, he's the first one that comes to mind. Number two, it's never good to be number two, but in this case, there's a theme here, obviously, but would be Michael Kempney. Now he did take a bad embellishment penalty, and he has in fact taken several questionable penalties these past six or seven games. But other than that, you can't question his effort. And that's what I'm looking for here is effort. Maybe not so much results, but effort. Because if you put in the effort, you're going to get the result eventually, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And his effort, at least, has always to me been consistent. And I guess the third, and this is gonna sound like a bit of a cop out, but even though he hasn't, his streak has ended and he hasn't scored as much, he's still leading by example. And that's, of course, the captain, Ovechkin. Now, he's still out there doing what he can. I wouldn't put all of the blame on the power play on him, though I can see. I mean, I can see that. I think my good friend Doug Lucerarian pointed it out in our Facebook room that it doesn't always have to be Ovechkin that is the one shooting the puck on the power play.
Agreed. Okay?
I don't know if that's by design or that he's calling it or what. Now he's on that power play point. So he's on that position to have the best chance of scoring. But yeah, Doug's right. There's no reason why he has to be the only one shooting. He can be a decoy. He can cause traffic in front of the net. He's already proven he can do that. But again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it comes down to effort. It comes down to showing the rest of the team what it takes to win. And so in that regard versus the results he's getting, so he's number three. So to answer that question, was that the one from Trucker Eric?
No. This is just okay. My question.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. So this is okay. So this is your what did we say we were calling this?
It was just we didn't have a name for it.
Teachers, something or other.
Yeah, not teacher's pet. Some teachers.
Points to ponder, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. As has been said, we fly by the seat of our pants on this show.
God. Oh, let it go. Yeah. Okay. So do you want me to answer my own question or should I
move on? No, go right ahead.
My number one actually is Kempney. I think that what has impressed me the most, especially the last, not just the last three games, I'll take it even further than that, is just that his position on the ice, he is quick, he's where he's supposed to be. You know, the embellishment thing, I wasn't super keen on, but I don't see him out there, you know, just looking for fights, you know, at all. Like, he's there to do his job. He cares about this team. His head is in it. And I feel like just when you get a chance to see him and what, you know, his position, you know, defensively, but he's everywhere. And I've really been impressed with him. So number six is getting kind of teacher gold star from me. Number two might throw you for a loop because it's not Tommy. Because, you know, Tommy get a trophy, not a star. Is Siegenthaler.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the last couple of times I've seen him, I should say when I first saw him, I was a little bit like, okay, he kind of needs to shake off the nerves a little bit. But I've seen him consistently play well and try to block shots and, you know, just be where he's supposed to be. And I think, you know, once he gets a couple more goals, you know, he's going to just feel so much better about himself and just totally kick ass. But I've been I'm happy with him. There's another super good vibe with that kid. And I think he'll go far. And my last one, although we did lose the game the other night, I still am so impressed with Copley. So I definitely, yeah, I'm finding myself having favorites. number 43. Look at me, I'm branching out, but I have been a big supporter of Copley's from the beginning. I've always Kempney, I love. And Siegenthaler, I see the potential. So those were my three in these last couple of games that I would give teacher's pet awards to.
Okay. I like that perspective. Like it a lot. I will say about Siegenthaler, I like the fact that he's starting to do a lot of the little things well, and that's going to provide a good foundation. As long as he keeps focusing on that, I think that he can't go wrong. I can see you're giving the Swiss Mister a gold star there.
Yeah, insert Price is Right song, and we're good. But now I will tell you before you start with the Bears. Let's see. This was Trucker Eric's question, and I think we might have pretty much already touched on it, but I want to give him the courtesy of reading the question since he is an awesome listener and a very good friend. So why do you think the Caps look so out of sorts? Seemed like the band of brothers are missing something. What's your take?
No, that's a very astute observation, I would say. Thank you for the question, Mr. Hayes. Did you want to tackle that first?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, when I first saw this question, the first thing that came to mind is that I am not 100% convinced that we have Oshie at 100%, that we have Kuzi at 100%. There just is something about those two when they left with their injuries and when they returned that concerns me, to be honest. Yes, Kuzi's pass.
You said Oshie and Kuznetsov?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
And yes, the Kuzi pass to Wilson. Oh my God, amazing. But unless I misunderstood this, but hasn't he only scored like once in the last, he personally scored, not assisting, but I think he scored like once in the last, I don't know, however many games.
Yeah, no, that's, you're right. That's true. And in fact, that's a good point because actually the radio guys, John Walton, Ken Sabourin, were actually making that point during the Detroit game in that he's still racking up the points mostly through assists, but yeah, he's not, you want to get him to shoot more. You want to see more goal scoring production out of him. And we just haven't seen it, at least not lately.
Right. So, and I feel like that something's just changed from when he had to come back after his injury. And Oshie, it truly bothers me that how
he took a really bad penalty towards the end of the Detroit game.
Yes.
I love the guy. He's my number's sake, but how do you take a penalty like that?
Yeah.
I mean, I get what he was trying to do, but still.
Yeah, it was not okay. And I will say that he's, I would love to know what he was saying when he was in the sin bin, because that seems to be the kind of joke on social media is like trying to figure out what he's saying in his hand gesture. It's very funny, but I don't know. I'm concerned with those two.
I saw that too.
I said hand gesture. I didn't say anything else. But I think that when you have two players that were so phenomenal the last couple of years and have been a staple in for the Capitals, not playing like how you're used to. Not that you don't want to compare him to Ovechkin because I hate doing the comparisons, but those are the two. And I feel like when they're not given 100%, not that they're not giving 100%, they're not at 100%. It kind of may throw some of the vibe off between the boys. So that's, I don't know. So I don't know if you want to answer the question or.
Well, no. Yeah, I'll definitely put my answer out there. And you may have hit upon it, but there is definitely something that I can't quite put my finger on when it started or even why, but something between the end of their winning streak and now has definitely changed about their approach to the game. And I don't know when they lost it or how or even why, but hopefully, like I said, this win against Detroit is a way out of that, out of that funk that they're in. I'm looking over the stats. I'm looking over the tape. I don't know. There's that something that I don't know what that is like a switch that gets turned on and off with this team. And that's probably the thing that scares me the most, because it can go off like a light. And when it does, and it's at the worst possible time, then that's called disaster. And I just hope it's not, you know, something that lingers, but I wish I had a better way of describing it. But I mean, maybe a key symptom is, like you said, the bad penalties Oshie was taking, the lack of shooting from Kuznetsov. I'll throw in another name, a guy who just came back, that maybe it's going to take some time for him to get his feet under him, but Brooks Orpik. I'm glad to see him back. He makes things a little bit more consistent, but at the same time, he's another year older, and it's going to take him that much longer to get back from injury and get back into, you know, get his timing back and everything. You know, he still looks like, you know, he's a little off out there.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe him getting back will provide some of that glue in the locker room. Maybe that's what it is. But, you know, and you know, Eric's right. You know, there's something different about this team, and they need to get it back, because Agreed. The competition is ramping up now. Everybody's starting their playoff run now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Eric, I hope that was a decent enough answer. I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but yeah, you're right. You just heard us talk about it. We've both noticed. And I'm sure, you know, we have the best fans in hockey, I think. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who've noticed. Certainly guys like Bernie Diehl and Doug Lucerarian and Brad Ricucci have noticed. If you look over at the True Caps fans game threads, read them over. And certainly Sonia Kendall over at Washington Capitals fans, her game threads. Read the comments there. You'll see a lot. You'll notice a lot of very keen observations taken during the game. So, you know, it's not going unnoticed. Certainly it's not.
Okay. All right. Well, I hate to be the, you know, the timekeeper, but we got to move on to the Bears, and I got to scoot.
Okay. Understood. So yeah, we're without the services of Mr. Producer Jeffrey for this go round. So let's go ahead, get through Don McLaren's farm report from our chocolate soldiers. Pull up his report here that he sent me. Okay. Of course, not unlike the Caps, is going to be 2 weeks worth. He actually took time to condense it as much as he could. So tip of the stick to him. Okay. So all right. So real quick, Friday, the 28th of December, Bears at the Baby Penguins, 5-1 win. Bears got going early. They kept going. Nathan Walker opened the scoring. Scarbosa got another goal, and Vanacek gets 22 saves. And even factored in on the assists. A great win there. Next day, they went up to Providence to face the Baby Bruins. That was a home game. Not so great there. Scarbosa continues his scoring ways, but he ended up getting the only goal. Vanacek, another 20 out of 22. Bears actually gave up two empty netters in this game, trying to close the gap at the end, but they come away with the loss again. So hockey's version of a doubleheader, Sunday the 30th, they host the Bruins again. This time they come away with 2-1 win. Samsonov in net this time, getting 22 out of 23. And then into 2019, Bears at home again versus the Baby Wings. 6-4 win, a bit of an ugly game, but let's see, Pinhole, Riley Barber with two, Shane Gersich, Aaron Ness, and the new addition, Sproul, all get goals. Vanacek makes 35 saves, great effort there. And the most recent Sunday on the 6th, Bears at home versus the Milwaukee Admirals. That's the Predators affiliate. 3-1 loss, unfortunately. So another up and down 2 weeks. Some good games, some bad. Walker scores the lone goal. Samsonov gets 15 saves. Not good, not great, not, you know. The outstanding in their field notes from Don says Steve Whitney at forward, 2 goals in 3 games. I would have put Scarbosa in there, but I like his the way he's putting the puck in the net. But he says Steve Whitney certainly worthy of mention. For the defenseman, Aaron Ness caps off 4 points this past weekend alone, 1 goal and 3 assists. Played his 200th game as a member of the Bears also. And with goalies, Samsonov was 1-1 these past 2 weeks. Vanecek 2-1. And Vanecek was actually named to the AHL All-Star team. He was the Hershey representative for the AHL All-Star game that will be in up in Springfield later on this month. So good for him. And of course, just want to point out, there was also the Star Wars jersey night. I actually posted this article in the Facebook page. It was from RMNB. I love Star Wars, and the jerseys were awesome. So I had to mention that. Don goes on to mention the auction raised $44,800 for various charities, including the USO and Wounded Warriors. Yay to them. Highest bidder was that very same jersey for Nathan Walker at $3,150. And so, yeah, great. That was great events and all around. So that's the farm report. Another team looking for some consistency, but I think they'll find their way towards, they're behind the eight ball. No one expects a whole lot out of them. But I think they're finding their way eventually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Anna, good to see you haven't died or fallen asleep on me.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to interrupt during Don's report. It's not
okay. So, yep. Once again, thank you, Don McLaren, for that information. So one last note before we close. The All-Star weekend is fast approaching. Of course, there was the buzz about Ovechkin deciding to skip the game. We're not going to talk about that at all. Suffice to say, I think it's a good decision by him. Others have done it. Of course, he's going to get the 1-game suspension. Boo-hoo. Whatever. Move on. Nothing to see here. But around that same weekend, the Monday after is what I'm shooting for. What I would like to do is have kind of an open mic show. Our roundtable discussion, however you want to call it, open it up to mainly, not exclusively, anyone who is a Facebook friend of the show. So if you're listening and you haven't asked to be a member of our Facebook page and you would like to call in, do please give us a notice. It's the Power Play Point podcast. You want to search that in all caps, of course, on Facebook. And if you're not a member, go ahead and sign up today. Love for you to do that. And so we will extend the invitation to anyone who's interested. Give a post at the Facebook page. Don't know what the structure will be. I think what I'm thinking is maybe we'll have kind of like how Anna posted it earlier in the show. Probably have about 4 or 5 questions for our roundtable panel to answer. Uber Conference, which is our vehicle, allows us up to 10 people during one call, so we can have 8 people on with us. I don't know if we're going to have actually that many, but would love to have as many people as we can get on to talk about it. However long you can hang on for that episode. So if you're interested, drop us a line at the Facebook page and let us know, and we'll set it up.
Awesome.
Okay. So with that, I think we will wrap it up for our first show of 2019. So, points to ponder. Yes. PP, when it goes drip, drip, drip and doesn't produce, is no good. We're looking for more consistent effort, and Anna's still annoyed with me.
Yeah, you nailed it.
And I got a new microphone.
We didn't talk about my new microphone. So let's hope that this sounds much better than previous episodes.
Well, I don't think it takes much. I hope I'm saying this right, but you always sound great to me. So
I pay you well.
God, I did miss you.
I know. What can I say? It's that charm. All right. I got to scoot. I'm starving before I hit up Sports on the Hill tonight, who we're going to be talking about, the last three games. And then we're going to talk about the three games coming up. And there are people, well, I'm not even going to put the info out there because this won't come out until later, but they can find us at True Radio Network and Facebook Live.
Yep. You can certainly listen to, if you missed the live feed from Facebook, again, that's Sports on the Hill. Show hosts are Carol Porter III, Robbie Gross, and Anna, as always, is on for Caps Talk on the first segment, live at 7 every Monday on Facebook Live. But again, if you miss the show live, you can listen to the True Radio archives and catch it there. So yes, you will. If you can't get enough of Anna here, you can get your fill of Anna there. I hope I said that right. Okay. So with that, on behalf of Anna Knox,
this is
the Blue Liner on Point. I think we'll wrap it up for first of 2019. And I would like to remind you that it's not good to take a job as a can crusher. You know why? It's soda depressing.
No.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps!
Go Caps!
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.